I shall now explain. Nuevo, knowing.
I shall explain the nuevo, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahma, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Please repeat after me. I shall now explain the knowable.
I shall explain the knowable.
Knowing which, the Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field.
He has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities.
Now he begins to explain the knowable. First the soul and then the super soul.
By knowledge of the knower,
both the soul and the super soul, one can relish the nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born, nor can anyone trace out the history of jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. The Vedic literature confirms this. Na jayate mriyate bhavivarshchit. Katha Upanishad 1-18. The knower of the body is never born and never dies and is full of knowledge. The Supreme Lord as the Super Soul is also stated in the Vedic literature, Shetashvara Upanishad 6:16, to be Pradhana Kshetraga Patir Bhunesha, the chief knower of the body and the master of three modes of material nature. In the Smriti it is said, Dasho Bhuto Harir Eva Nanna Shaiva Padachana. The living entities are eternally in the service of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed by the Chaitanya in this teaching. Therefore, the description of Brahman mentioned in this verse is in relation to the individual soul. And when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it is to be understood that he is Vigyana Brahma as opposed to Ananda Brahma. Ananda Brahma is the Supreme Brahma, personality of Godhead. Geyam yaptat pravakshyami jaj gyattam amritam ashnute anadi mat param brahma na saktam na shaduchyate. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. So, in this chapter, Krishna is explaining the nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. Nature actually has various manifestations. Nature literally means the energy of Krishna. And initially, there are two energies of Krishna, and that is the material nature and the spiritual nature. The material nature is Krishna's external energy, and the spiritual nature is Krishna's internal energy. This material nature is external, or Krishna's inferior energy, and this nature is inert. This nature doesn't have consciousness. But Krishna's spiritual nature is fully conscious. And the spiritual nature is not only conscious, the spiritual nature is Sat Chit Ananda. The spiritual nature is eternal, the spiritual nature is full of consciousness or full of knowledge, and the spiritual nature is full of joy. Whereas the material nature is diametrically opposed to the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature is eternal, but the material nature is temporary. The spiritual nature is conscious, but the material nature is inert, unconscious. And the spiritual nature is full of bliss, whereas material nature is miserable. Now, between these two extremely opposite natures of Krishna, external and internal nature of Krishna, there lies another energy of Krishna, which is called the Tatastha Shakti. Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Jajidam Dharyate Jagat. So this marginal energy of Krishna lies between the material and spiritual nature. And the living entities are that marginal energy of Krishna. Like we, the jivas, fragmental parts and parcels of Krishna, are the marginal energy. Or we are produced out of Krishna's marginal energy. And this energy is called marginal because these living entities can either be in the spiritual nature or in the material nature. Just like the margin or the bank of the ocean, bank of a river. One side of the river there is water, on one side of the bank there is water, and the other side of the bank is land. That is the meaning of Tatastha Shakti. Tat actually means bank. And what is the bank? The river bank is the place where the water is separated from land. It's a line. But that line is not constant. That line is shifting or can move. Similarly, living entities, according to their desire, can either be in the spiritual nature of the Lord or in the material nature of the Lord. Now those who fall into this, or those who decide to come to this material side of Krishna's energy, they become bewildered by the illusory potency of Krishna. And this bewilderment takes place with the influence of false ego. False ego means a misconception about one's identity. This material nature is inferior, but the living entities are coming from Krishna's superior nature. The living entities are superior, the material nature is inferior. So when a superior comes across the inferior, then what happens? The superior naturally wants to dominate over the inferior. Therefore, as soon as a living entity comes in contact with the material nature, he develops a desire to lord over this material, inferior material nature. And that lording over, the tendency to lord over is called false ego. False ego means, false means wrong or mistaken. And ego means identity. So false ego means a mistaken identity. A living entity is the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of God. Jiver Sharup Hai Krishne Nitya Dash. A living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna. But when a living entity forgets his relationship with Krishna and comes in contact with the material nature and begins to think that he is the Lord and Master of this material nature, then that is his false ego, mistaken identity. Instead of becoming a servant, he wants to become the master. Instead of becoming an obedient servitor to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wants to lord over this material nature. And this is the first covering of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. And this is the first cause of a living entity's bondage. The root of our material bondage is false ego. We want to enjoy this material nature. Now, this tendency to lord over this material nature is a natural thing. As I said, it is a natural tendency of a superior to dominate over the inferior.
So living entity cannot be blamed for this attitude that he had. But he should actually be blamed for just being in this or opting to be in this material nature. But if a living entity wants to become free from the material nature or the bondage of the material nature, he must try to be exposed to the spiritual energy of the world. As long as one's consciousness is projected towards matter, he is bound to be covered by this false ego. And we can also consider how this gradually a living entity becomes entangled in the material nature. He, due to the influence of false ego, wants to enjoy this material nature. Then he begins to plan how he is going to enjoy this material nature. And that gives him the covering of intelligence. Intelligence is the covering through which a living entity tries to enjoy this, plans to enjoy this material nature. He makes all kinds of arrangements or he makes all kinds of plans to enjoy this material nature. And then, his consciousness constantly runs towards the material nature through the medium of mind. So in this way, with his mind, intelligence and false ego, a living entity becomes bound by this material nature. And that comprises his subtle body, consisting of these three subtle elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. And then according to the subtle body, a living entity gets a gross body provided by the material nature. As his subtle body is, as his intelligence, as his mind, as his false ego is, according to the shape, he gets a gross body. When his subtle body is very much involved in trying to enjoy this material nature, he gets a more and more gross body. According to the subtle body's attachment to the material nature, one gets the gross body. And the body becomes grosser and grosser according to his attachment. So this way, it has been explained in Bhagavad Gita that how a living entity, a marginal potency of Krishna, became entangled in this material nature. And it has also been pointed out that the living entity actually is responsible for his own destiny. A living entity has been endowed with a minute independence. And it is through that independence that a living entity can decide whether he will go to the spiritual nature or remain in the material nature. Krishna never tells the living entity that, well, you all go to the material nature and you all stay with me. No, Krishna never makes that decision for the living entity. Actually, Krishna gave the freedom to the living entities to decide where they want to be. And Krishna has given the intelligence just for the sake of allowing the living entities to figure out for himself where he wants to be. Often people question why Krishna put us in this material nature. And why doesn't Krishna take us back to the spiritual nature? Or when Krishna will want, I will go back to the spiritual nature. This is a very common thing among the Indians. The Indians say, well, when Krishna wants, I will go there. Now let me enjoy this material nature. But those fools don't realize that they are not enjoying the material nature, they are suffering. So anyway, but the real knowledge is, real understanding is, that Krishna has given a minute independence to this minute spirit soul. Very little spirit soul, very atomic insignificant spirit, so there's a very little independence. And this independence is simply meant to decide whether he wants to go to Krishna or whether he wants to stay in Maya. Now those who decided to stay in Maya, they have come to the material nature. But those who want to go to Krishna, even though they may be in the material nature now, but if they simply desire to go to Krishna, then they can very easily go to Krishna, go to the spiritual nature. Now the question may arise, what's the advantage of going to the spiritual nature? The advantage is that when you go to the spiritual nature, there we'll get everything that we want. The advantage of going to the spiritual nature is that all our desires will be fulfilled when you go to the spiritual nature. And what are our desires? All our desires can culminate into three basic desires. The first desire is that no one wants to die. Actually, if we analyze our desires, then we can see that first of all, we don't want to die. Then the second desire is that we want to know everything. And the third desire is that we want to be joyful. So all our desires ultimately culminate into these three desires, three principal desires. And then again, these three desires again culminate into one specific desire. And what is that ultimate desire? The ultimate desire is that we all want to be happy, we all want to be joyful. So these three desires are actually called Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. So when we go to the spiritual nature, then we immediately achieve an eternal life full of knowledge and full of bliss. And in the spiritual sky, everyone is eternally blissful. The joy that one experiences in spiritual nature cannot be imagined from here. Just as a person who has always been in darkness doesn't know what light is, similarly, we, the conditioned living entities in the material nature, cannot even imagine what transcendental bliss actually is. But that transcendental bliss, that spiritual joy, is available in the spiritual sky. And that's why an intelligent man must try to go back to the spiritual sky. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is actually making that final point. Gradually, Krishna is unfolding the spiritual knowledge. Krishna first explained that a living entity is not material being. A living entity is not his body. That's the first thing Krishna explained. A living entity is a spirit soul. And that spirit soul is eternal and is unborn, and a spirit soul never dies. Na jayate mriyateva padachin nayam bhutva bhavitavanam kuya ajo nitya shashvato ayam puranam na hannate hannamana sharire. That is the identity of a spirit soul. Spirit soul is never born, nor will it ever die. Na jayate mriyateva padachin. And once being, it never ceases to exist. Nayam bhutva bhavitavana bhuya ajo nitya shashvato ayam puranam. It is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and even though the body is slain, the spirit soul can never be slain. In this way, Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita towards the beginning that how a spirit soul is not really matter. Spirit soul is not material. There are two different things. Matter and spirit are two completely opposite elements. So in this way, Krishna explained to Arjuna that there is a distinct difference between the body and the soul. Deha and Dehi. The body and the owner of the body, the proprietor of the body. And Krishna explains that it is due to the presence of the soul in the body that the body becomes alive. Otherwise the body is dead. The body is actually made of dead matter. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, they all are dead matter. There is no life in them. They are inert. And this body has been made of those dead matters. Therefore this body is actually a dead body. The gross body is a dead body. But it is only due to the presence of the spirit soul in the body that the body is alive. We all are alive because the spirit soul is there in the body. And as soon as the spirit soul leaves the body, the dead body becomes dead again. Actually the body by nature is a dead body. Prabhupada used to say, walking dead man. All the people, those who do not have any knowledge about Krishna, they are actually walking dead bodies. They are dead bodies, but they are walking. Why? Because the spirit soul is there. But the spirit soul doesn't have any knowledge about his spiritual identity. The spirit soul is thinking, I am this body. And that is the case with most of the people in this world. In the material nature, most of the people are thinking, I am this body. That is, I am this dead body. That means I am a dead person. So materially conditioned people are actually dead people. Only when they become exposed to Krishna consciousness do they become alive. So in this way, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna first explained the difference between matter and spirit. Then Krishna explains that there are two types of spirit again. One is a fragmental atomic spirit and the other is the absolute spirit. The jiva and Ishvara. Jivas are minute spiritual beings, but Ishvara is the supreme spiritual being. And the supreme spiritual being, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the source of all material and spiritual being. The matter, both the material nature and the spiritual nature, is coming from that supreme spirit. And that supreme spirit is one without a second. So that supreme spirit is the supreme personality of Godhead. And that supreme personality of Godhead, or the supreme spirit, is sustaining this material, this entire creation. And this supreme spirit is actually the creator of everything that is existing. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matto sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mang buddha bhavasamnita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matto sarvam pravartate. That everything has emanated from me, everything has come out of me, everything has been created by me. And matto sarvam pravartate. Everything is sustained by me. Everything is maintained by me. So in this way, Krishna again made a difference or distinction between the individual soul and the supreme soul. And then Krishna explained that this individual soul and the supreme soul has a very strong bondage, a bond between them. Not bondage, but a very strong bond between them. So much so that even though the individual soul leaves the supreme soul, but the supreme soul, he goes with the individual soul wherever the individual soul goes. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati. The super soul, Ishvara,
is situated in the heart of every living entity. And Brahmayam Sarva Bhutani Jantra Rudhani Mayaya. And that Supreme Soul makes the individual soul travel through different bodies by the arrangement of Maya. And why the spirit soul is moving, traveling in different bodies? Because the spirit soul desires to do so. The spirit soul has many desires, Jivatma has many desires to enjoy. And the super soul provides or fulfills all those desires. A living entity sometimes says, I want to be a king. And the super soul says, okay, fine, I'll make you a king. So he gives him an appropriate body, he becomes a king. But what happens? As a king also he suffers. Or even if he doesn't suffer, ultimately he has to give this body, because the body that he gets has only a certain duration. And sometimes a spirit soul wants to become a pig. Like one may say, no one wants to become a pig. Well, he doesn't want to become a pig as such, but his mentality is like that of a pig. So nature says, okay, become a pig. The characteristics of a pig, when somebody desires those activities that are typical to that of a pig. A pig will eat anything, pig will live in a dirty place, and the pig will have sex with anyone and everyone indiscriminately. So anyone who wants to lead a life like that, the nature will, or the super soul will grant his desires. Say, okay, fine, I will allow you to eat everything, including even stool. And actually your main food will become stool. You will live in a pigsty. You will live in a very dirty place. And you will, in this way, you will fulfill all your desires. So the super soul actually fulfills the desires of the spirit soul. So when the spirit soul wants to enjoy the material nature, the super soul provides him with the appropriate bodies to fulfill those desires. But no matter whichever body a spirit soul is in, he suffers terribly. And this suffering is actually meant for rectifying his consciousness. The suffering is there so that at some point he will realize, I do not want to be here. I do not want to suffer. This is not where I actually wanted to be. And then when he gets proper information from the bona fide source, from the bona fide spiritual master, from the scriptures, from the sadhus, those who are in the disciplic succession, then he immediately realizes, oh, now I realize that this is the wrong place where I have come to. The real place that I actually need to go back is the spiritual sky. And there all my desires will be fulfilled. And as soon as the spirit soul desires that now I want to go back to Krishna, then the super soul who is sitting in the heart of a spirit soul says, okay, fine, now you come back. I'll make all arrangements. So in this way, ultimately everything is depending upon the desire of the individual. And that is why Krishna has given him the independence. That you decide for yourself where you want to be. You want to be in the material nature or you want to be in the spiritual nature. If you want to suffer in the material nature, I will give you all the suffering. But if you want to enjoy in the spiritual nature with me, I'll make all the arrangements. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is neutral. And he actually wants all the living entities to come back to him. But he does not interfere in his independence. Krishna says, I have given you the independence. So you use your independence. You decide where you want to be.
So that is what Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita And actually the entire Vedas are dealing with these topics. But Bhagavad Gita is actually a summary of the whole of the Vedas. All the Vedic philosophies are dealing with these three things.
Prakriti, a material nature, Jiva, the spirit soul, and Ishvara, the supreme personality of Godhead. And a Jiva is between the spiritual nature and the material nature. And when a Jiva mistakenly considers himself to be matter or material, he simply suffers. But when he wants to get out of this miserable existence and go back to the spiritual nature, then Krishna makes all the arrangements to him. Therefore, the final instruction of Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Masucha. Give up all your nonsense activities, give up all your tendencies to enjoy this material nature. And just surrender unto me. Now if you do that, then I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions and you'll come back to me. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes?
How is it possible that in being in the spiritual world that one can develop a material desire which could cause all problems?
Yeah. In the spiritual world, one does not develop material desire as such, but one in the spiritual nature can look away from Krishna. One can look away from Krishna. And as soon as one looks away from Krishna, then he looks at Krishna's external energy, which is the material nature, inferior nature. And when one perceives this material nature, he develops his false ego, that he is the enjoyer. And then all his trouble starts.
You said one takes birth according to his desire, what you want to do. For example, I maybe desire last life to be a king, but I was born in the family of Chandalas. That was how he comes.
How do you know?
No, for example.
Right. But the super soul knows. He said Krishna, as a super soul, knows what is the real desire of a living entity. And then he fulfills that desire.
Is there no karma between, so that I know can't
forgive? Very good point, yeah. Good, yeah. Yes, karma is also there. Like, everybody wants to be a king, right? But that means everybody wants to have a higher state of existence in the material nature. But in order to have the higher existence, one has to have the good karma. It's the good karma that takes one upwards, and it's the bad karma that takes one downwards. It's due to good karma one enjoys the material life, and it's due to the bad karma that one suffers in its material existence. So that is the meaning, like the fulfilling the desire, that Krishna fulfills the desires. Actually, Krishna knows the ultimate desire of the living entity, what he wants, and that is what the karma is. Right? Now, you see, like everybody wants to be a king, that means everybody wants to have everything in the material nature. King means a controller. Right? And in the material nature, everyone wants to be the supreme controller. But to what extent he will be allowed to control will be designed or will be decided by the super soul according to his karma.
So the karma is the mirror of our real wish, desire.
karma is the mirror of our real desire. Yeah, you can say that. Or you can say the karma is the force. Karma is the actual element that puts us in different situations. She has a question.
When somebody falls, for example, from sense of Krishna consciousness,
Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
No, Krishna consciousness is not controlled by karma. No. Krishna consciousness begins with Sukriti. You see, with karma, the result of karma is only in the material sphere. But Krishna consciousness is beyond material. So karma cannot get, no amount of karma can give one Krishna consciousness. But it is only the Sukriti, that is the spiritual mercy of the Vaishnavas, that can give one Krishna consciousness. So we came to Krishna consciousness because of the mercy of the Vaishnavas, mainly due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. Well, his independence is there because the Vaishnavas are showering their mercy all the time. But the question is whether he will take the mercy. Right? Yes, you have a question?
Is it possible that the Supreme Lord has been materialized as a human being on our planet again?
Okay. Yeah. You see, as I explained briefly, that Krishna's external energy is his material nature. God's external energy is the material nature. External means that is isolated from Him, right? The energy that is separated from Him, that is material nature, right? See, so the person whose separated energy is material nature, because that energy is separated from Him, that's why it is material. So how he can become subject to that material nature? Anyway, so I think it's a little too heavy. Okay, I'll explain to you through an example. See, the king creates the prism, right? And king creates the prism for the criminals, right? Those who do not want to abide by his law, they are put into the prison. Right? So it's the king who actually created the prison. Now, if the king goes to the prison, does he become a prisoner? No. Right? So similarly, the God may come to this material nature out of his own sweet will. He even act like a ordinary human being, but still he is never subject to the material nature. He is never controlled by the material nature. He is always the controller of the material nature. So the answer is no, God does not become materialized. God is always the Supreme Spirit.
And when somebody says of himself, he is the creator, the keeper, and the destroyer of the universe.
Who says that? Yeah, only two persons can say that. God himself can say that, or a crazy man can say that. See, either God himself, when God says that, I am the creator, I am the maintainer, I am the destroyer, then it's fine, then it's true.
But you said it's not possible.
It's not possible.
But there exists somebody who tells
it. Right. The person who really did it, he can say that. And there is somebody who exists, who really created, and he is God. Right? But those who say that, those who say that they are God, they are the creator, they are the maintainer, they are the destroyer, you can see their activities, you know. Do they look like they are the creator?
To me he looks sweet, but others say he don't look sweet.
Sweet, you see, like to the father, even his son, little child looks sweet. But does it mean that he is the creator?
No, this is not the only point about him.
Anyway, as I said, like only two persons can say, two types of people can say that he is the creator and maintainer, etc. The one who is a real creator, and the other one is a liar.
You said that Krishna is living in the spiritual world. But I see many pictures of Krishna where he has a material body. Is that just an imagination of people, or what is it about?
Actually, what makes you say that Krishna has a material body? Because he has a body like ours? That's why you are saying that he has a material body? No. Although his body looks like ours, but his body is not made of matter like our body. His body is made of spiritual elements called eternity, knowledge and bliss, or Satchidananda. And mind you, man has been created according to the image of God. You see, man's form is like God's form. Man has been created according to the image of God. But that doesn't mean that because God looks like a man, God is also a man or human being. No. But human beings have been created according to His image. But the difference is, He is spiritual, whereas our form is material, made of earth, or made of all kinds of material elements.
So people could never paint Krishna because he is spiritual, but people do paint him. How do they know how Krishna looks like?
How do they know? Because those who have spiritual vision, they can see Krishna. And on top of that, 5,000 years ago, Krishna came and performed his pastimes. Just like the king can go to the prison and the prisoners can see the king. Right? But normally, the prisoners cannot see the king because the prisoners are imprisoned in a prison and the king lives in the palace. Right? But if the king, out of his sweet will, comes to the prison house, then the prisoners can see him. Right? Similarly, Krishna came 5,000 years ago and people could see him. And those who are devotional to, those who are devoted to Krishna, they recognized that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna himself said that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like this Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained everything. Krishna not only explained who he is, Krishna explained who we are, what this material nature is, what the spiritual nature is. All the knowledge has been given by Him in Bhagavad Gita. And then, yes, some people painted His forms. Actually, Krishna's forms were first depicted after His disappearance. When Krishna withdrew His pastimes from this planet, then His great-grandson, Vajranabha made the deities of Krishna, carved the deities of Krishna, and those deities were worshipped in the temple. So these are the original forms of Krishna, and some of those deities are still existing. And then, as I said, like people, those who have the vision, they saw Krishna. And those who have the proper information, according to the information, the painted Krishna. Now you'll notice one thing, you may say that, well, Krishna's forms are painted by different people. But you will notice that all the forms of Krishna look alike. It is not that somebody paints Krishna in certain way and somebody else paints Krishna in some other way. You'll never see Krishna with a long beard and long hair, an old man. Krishna's form is always youthful. Krishna is dressed in certain way. Krishna is always wearing flower garlands, his peacock feather, his bodily complexion is bluish. So just like, say, you think of anyone, say, any famous person you can think of? Think of any famous person. Say Albert Einstein. Now, different people may paint Einstein's portrait, but they will all look like Einstein. Similarly, different people may paint or may make the deities of Krishna, murtis of Krishna, sculptures of Krishna, but they all will look alike. And they all are signifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, Mother.
And you explained that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he's the source of everything. Then how can you maintain the duality of material and spiritual nature? I mean, that they are completely separate, if they have the same origin, how we can maintain the duality?
Very good. Yes. Yeah. The difference is that one is Krishna's direct manifestation of his energy, the manifestation of his energy directly, and the other is a reflection or indirect manifestation of his energy. So this material nature is an indirect manifestation of Krishna's energy, which can also be described as the reflection of the spiritual energy of Krishna. Or sometimes it's also pointed out as a shadow. See, the sun is giving out light, but it is also due to the sun that the shadow is created. Now, indirectly, the sun is the cause of the shadow. But shadow is completely different from light. Yes? Yes.
In your answer to me, you were saying that actually, if we know to take the mercy, we should know how to take the mercy. And I want to know what is the guiding factor to how some devotees know to take.
Some devotees?
Some do know how to take this mercy and some do not.
Material nature. So as long as we have these desires to enjoy this material nature, we won't be able to receive the mercy. Because the spiritual mercy takes us to the spiritual world. But if our heart is stuck here, then when the mercy comes, we say, well, we don't want it. Isn't it? So the deciding factor or the qualification to receive that spiritual mercy is purity from material contamination. The more pure you become, the more we become able to receive that mercy. Yes, Mahadev Prabhu.
I think this point of different visions of Krishna. Sometimes I got this question this morning. Sometimes he is painted blue, but his baby form is mainly black.
Yeah. Okay, as I gave the example of Albert Einstein, like if Einstein's sculptor, if Einstein's sculpture is made out of bronze, right, will his complexion be the same or he will look, his complexion will be different? Or if Einstein's form is carved out of marble. So when these elements are used, then the real complexion cannot be depicted. Only the form is depicted. Therefore, you see, like Krishna is carved out of bronze, carved out of metal, carved out of clay, or carved out of stone. The color of those elements are not so important. It is the form that is what is important. So, any other question? Yes?
You have said the more visions we have, the more we are coming to the material platform. And is it so that if we give up more visions, then automatically we are coming on the spiritual platform, and also our senses become spiritualized, and perhaps then we can see Krishna, we can hear Krishna, and every time, for example, Srila Prabhupada, he could see Lord Nityananda when he was sitting in the taxi or so. Then is it possible that we can be so spiritualized that we can see every time Krishna, or that we can live in the spiritual world also when we have a body here?
So, I hope I got your question clearly. You meant that more we develop our spiritual desire, the more we can get to know Krishna, right? Now, you are asking whether in spite of being in the material body, whether we can see Krishna. Good. Yes. Seeing Krishna simply depends upon our purification of our consciousness. When we desire to enjoy this material nature or exploit this material nature, our consciousness becomes contaminated. And as a result of that, that consciousness becomes covered. And then we can only see the material nature and we cannot see the spiritual nature. Because we have lost our spiritual vision. Like to see material nature, it's something like, you know, you put on a glass, like you have your eyes, right? Now you put on a glass. But this glass that we are wearing now, all of us, is the glass of Maya. Right? We are seeing everything through Maya. Now, it's a question of, you know, taking off this glass. Now, when you take off this glass, then do you become blind? No. When you take off the glass of Maya, which is actually causing a covering, then your spiritual vision develops. Now, what is the way to take off that glass of Maya due to our love for Krishna? It's only by developing a love for Krishna that we can get rid of Maya. So when we develop our love for Krishna, then our eyes, our vision becomes spiritualized. That's why it is said, Premanjana Churito Bhakti Vilochanena. When our eyes become anointed with love for Krishna, then Shanto Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. That saintly person, that purified person, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart all the time. Right? So my answer is, the person may be in his material body, but if his consciousness is purified, then yes, he can see Krishna face to face. Now, if I go even deeper into that question, then I have to say this way. You see, it is actually the spirit soul that perceives. Who sees? The eyes do not see. The mind doesn't see. It is the spirit soul that sees. But when we are in our material consciousness, then we see through the mind, we see through our material senses. The spirit soul is spirit soul's consciousness then is projected through subtle and gross matter. And therefore he sees subtle and gross elements. But when his subtle body becomes purified by devotional service, that is, by constantly thinking of Krishna, when his mind becomes purified, by being constantly engaged in devotional service, when his intelligence becomes purified, and by becoming constantly engaged in devotional service, when he gives up his false identity of being the Lord and Master and becomes an eternal servant of Krishna, then his subtle body becomes spiritualized. And at that time, although he is living in the gross material body, but he is a pure spirit soul. And for him, it's only a matter of time when he is going to leave his body. Because this body has a certain duration, this gross body. Like generally for a human being, the duration is 100 years. So as long as he is destined to stay in this body, he stays in this body. That pure spirit soul stays in the material body. But he is a pure spirit soul, pure devotee. And then when he leaves the body, then he goes back to God.
Is there anything written in the Bhagavad Gita about leaving the soul? No, about leaving the soul of the body during living, during being in the body.
Can soul leave the body
during life? Yes.
Well, Krishna actually in Bhagavad Gita explained that the body and spirit are totally different things. And the spirit is superior to the body. So, because the soul is superior, so he can be free from the bondage of inferior matter. Like, just yesterday, we were remembering one incident. When Prabhupada was in Hamburg, he saw that one big boat is being tugged by a small, pilot boat. A big ocean liner is being tugged by a tugboat, small boat. So Prabhupada was going on a morning walk. So Prabhupada asked the devotees, can you tell me how this small little boat can pull this huge ocean liner? So different devotees said different things, tried to reason it. But then Prabhupada said no. He said, because the engine of the big ocean liner has stopped. And that's why a small boat can tug it. Similarly, the living entity, although he's spiritual, but because his spiritual engine has stopped, that's why Maya can tug him along. So we all are bound by Maya, bound by this material body, because we have lost our spiritual identity. But once we become situated in our spiritual identity, then the body is irrelevant. Yes?
Yesterday I read in Sri Isopanishad, and there is a foreword written by Srila Prabhupada, and there is mentioned that 5,000 years ago, Vyasadeva wrote down the Vedic four Vedas, and then he writes that he wasn't content about this, and that he liked to write more. And there are mentioned three classes of less intelligent classes. And first is mentioned, I think it was three women. And I cannot understand how, if we are not the body, how can there be such a big difference between as well?
Yes. You see, originally, actually, we are not our bodies. But due to our illusion, we think that we are our bodies. Right? And as long as we think that we are our bodies, then we act according to our bodies. Right? And different bodies have different abilities. Like, for example, a man's body is able to perform certain acts that a woman's body is not able to. Similarly, woman's body is able to act in a certain way that a man's body is not. Now, for a woman, you see, the predominating factor in a woman is emotion. Whereas the predominating factor in a man is intelligence. But mind you, one thing is that this age of Kali, everything goes topsy-turvy, right? Everything goes upside down, gets mixed up. And in this particular age, that, you know, like, principle does not really apply completely. Like, for example, in this age you'll find that men are more emotional and women are more intelligent, you know, oftentimes. That's because, you see, like in Kali Yuga, everything gets mixed up. But generally, you see, by nature, a man is supposed to be more intelligent and a woman is supposed to be more emotional. Like you can say, you know, like that we have two centers of our consciousness. One is head and one is heart. Right? With a woman, the heart is predominant. But with a man, head is predominant.
But where's the seat of intelligence? I mean, isn't it the heart? Like intuition?
No. The seat of intelligence is the brain, is the head. And seat of emotion is the heart. You feel with your heart, but you think with your head.
But where's the truth? In the head or in the heart?
The truth is in the soul. And the soul is situated in the heart. Anyway, I will make you another point to your question. That, you see, in the ultimate issue, we are not these bodies. We are spirit soul. So let us not get upset that if women are addressed as less intelligent, because this is your bodily consciousness. You are thinking, I am a woman and why am I sick? But if you think you are a woman, then you become less intelligent. But if you become a spirit soul, then you become most intelligent. So just become your spirit soul. Don't worry about you. Physical designation. Yes?
I have one more question for you.
Sure.
You said to me that faith in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by karma, but on the other hand, you said that faith in mercy is controlled by our purity. So to me, it seems actually as a karma, because in the Greek, how somebody is pure, he can stay or go on to Krishna.
Okay, good. You see, when we say karma, karma is certain arrangement in the material nature which produces reaction to our action. Now that happens only as long as we are eager to enjoy this material nature. But a person who has surrendered himself unto Krishna or wants to become situated on the spiritual platform and does not really care for material enjoyment, then he is free from karma. Although he may act, but those activities are not karmic, that is, not result-oriented karma. They are simply activities in submission to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His pleasure. And that is called spiritual activity. Both are activities, right? Devotional service is activity. And material activities are also activities. But the material activities are meant for for enjoying Himself. Whereas spiritual activities are meant to give pleasure to Krishna. So that is what causes the difference. And as long as we think that we are going to enjoy this material nature by dint of our activities, that is karma and that is the covering. Right? That is the impurities. That's the contamination. But as we become engaged in serving Krishna, then that becomes the cause of our freedom. If somebody? Yeah. You see, fall down is not bad. But to remain fallen is bad. Say, while you're learning to walk, right? You may sleep and you may fall down, right? But if you say, well, because I've fallen down, I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to stand up again. Then you'll never be able to walk. So at a neophyte stage, if somebody falls down, doesn't matter. But get up and start walking. And then, when one becomes strong in his feet, then he doesn't fall down. Another thing is that, you see, in order to, we always have to protect ourselves, guard ourselves from falling down. And the best way to protect ourselves from falling down is to remain in the association of devotees. So, in spiritual life, we should be very careful that we don't fall down. Because when you fall, then it hurts, doesn't it? And higher you go, the more painful it will be. Right? If you fall on the plain ground, it don't hurt you so much. But if you have gone up very high, almost reached the peak, then you fall from there, all your bones will be broken. Right? Therefore, we should be very, very careful not to fall. And the best way to protect ourselves from falling down is to remain in the association of devotees. So if we remain in the association of devotees, and listen to the devotees, then no matter how weak we may be, we won't fall down. Because the devotees' association will give us the protection.
There are two statements Srila Prabhu wants to ask about falling down from spiritual birth. And one bit is that we fell down from Vishnu Lila, and the other one is that we fell down from marginal position. So what is actually
I don't have any comments. Actually, Prabhupada said, don't worry about it. Where you came from, here also Krishna says, there is no way of knowing how a living entity... I'll just read it. Yeah. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born. Nor can anyone trace out the history of jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. So it's impossible for us to figure out, when and how we came out from the Supreme Lord. The Prabhupada said that don't waste your time thinking where you came from, but try to figure out how you're going to go back there. So the important thing is how you're going to go back, not how, where, when and how we have fallen from. Now we are here, so now let's try to go back there. Otherwise, it's a kind of discussing endlessly. Like for example, there is a philosophical riddle. Whether the chicken came first or the egg came first. Now can you ever figure out which one came first? So why waste your time on this kind of useless discussion? Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the Berlin Jatra.